Last week we were celebrating Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. We call it Palm Sunday. Now we catch up with him after we call the Last Supper. And we find Jesus being arrested, taken to custody, falsely accused of a crime. They lied about him. Now, start here in Matthew 27:27. For us to recall, remember what Jesus did for us. That's what we're gathered here this morning. Remember what he has done for us. So, as this touches our hearts, as I read this, it's like remembering the love that he shared for us and the love he still has for us, and that he's coming back for us. See, the master had to lay his life down. We just sang he grew the tree. He had to have a tree to be crucified on. So he provided it. He had to have a way to go to set the captives free, and it had to be on a tree, same as the prophecy stated. But in verse 27 of chapter 27 of Matthew, it says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. And they stripped him." And they put, I didn't think I'd do it this year. "And they put a scarlet robe on him. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spat on him, and they took the reed and began to beat Jesus on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took his robe off and put his garments on him and led him away to be crucified. And they were coming out, they saw a man, Syrian, named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over there. And they put up above his head the charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling insults at him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we shall believe in him.'" What restraint the master had. Being taunted and insulted like that, I would have came off. But the master didn't. Because he saw you and me right now here in this assembly. And he was giving up his life for you and me. So he trusts in God. Let him deliver him now if he takes pleasure in him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers also who had been crucified with him were casting the same insult at him. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. The sixth hour would have been noon. From noon to 3 p.m., darkness fell upon the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Ela, ela, lama, sabata.' That is, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' And some of those who were standing there when they heard this began saying, 'This man is calling for Elijah.' And immediately one of them ran, taking a sponge, and he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him drink. But the rest of them said, 'Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. And the tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep was raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with them keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." And many women were there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Along with them was Mary Magdalene, along with Mary the mother of Jesus, and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee. And when it was evening, there came a rich man named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. And this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given over to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had made out of rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now the next day, which is one after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Therefore give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go. Make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard they set a seal on the stone. So they put the stone in front of the tomb, a borrowed tomb, and put soldiers around it to guard it, just because the master was saying that third day he would rise again. He's going to make sure that no one would come and steal the body of Jesus. A couple of things we see here in the scripture when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What had happened right then? Your sins and my sins was placed upon the shoulders of Jesus. Think of this. What is the wages of sin? Death. Spiritually and physically. Death. Okay? My body will die someday because of sin. Okay? I'm redeemed, but my body, my spirit won't, but my body will. That's just part of the curse. Jesus had no sin. Satan had no right to kill Jesus. You hear me, church?
Yes.
He had no right. Satan could not kill Jesus. Think of that. When we say the Master laid his life down for us, he had to. He would never die. Satan couldn't kill him because he never sinned. But Satan was not aware of that. Now listen, he's still being big-headed. Satan is, well, when the Master had his beard plucked out, when he had the crown of thorns beating his head and blood's coming out, he didn't need that. He could lay his life down right then. But Satan, thinking that he was overpowering the Master, thinking that he was killing the Master, boy, he just rejoiced with that. The scourging that Jesus took on his back, that was yours and mine. That was our punishment. Showing us what the cost of sin is. Showing us that nobody wants to go to hell and pay that penalty for sin. Now, Buck, if you was in a prisoner of war camp, and I wanted to get you out, and I had a plan to get you out, first thing I had to do is find a way in to get you, right? So, what's the best way to get in there with you? I'll let my enemy capture me. I'll let them think they took me into custody. I'll make them think that they're restraining me from action. So I'd be just walking down the street like this, and let Joe, going to be the enemy for a second, just stay there though. Joe would grab me, "Ha ha, I got another one," and throw me in beside Brother Buck. I said, "Buck, I got this plan now, buddy. We're going to get out of here." Jesus was the same way. He was sent to set the captives free. At this time, they were being detained right now in the bosom of Abraham. Everybody familiar with the bosom of Abraham? It was paradise where you went to before Jesus paid for our sins. He had to go into hell to take the keys away from Satan and raise up again. How are we going to get there? Well, number one, he had to lay his life down. So he went through all this to get to the cross. Okay. If he died right now, he'd go right back to heaven. But he's hanging on the cross, and his blood is pouring out. God takes the sin of mankind and puts it on his shoulders. The first time in his entire life he was ever separated from God. Oh my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, God turned his face away from Jesus. He cannot look upon sin. When that sin came on, Jesus gave up his life. And what's the wages of sin? Is death. So into hell he went. But no grave is going to keep him. He took your sins to hell. Paid the price. Then he rose up again.
Hallelujah.
Amen? You hear that?
Jesus. Hallelujah.
He rose up again.
Amen.
Our sins have been paid for. Every sin from the foundation of the world has been paid for. The Master went and paid the price. Didn't change it. The wages of sin is death. He went and paid the death penalty. But he had no sin. So he couldn't be retained in hell, in the bosom of Abraham. He raised up. He took back the dominion that mankind gave to Satan in the garden. Think of that. That's how much love. You know, going back to our scenario of Buck being in the prisoner of war camp, I got to get in there. I know when I let myself be captured, he's going to beat me. He's going to gouge me. He's going to starve me. But my love for my brother is greater than the love I have for myself. So do what you must do, but I'm going in to get him. And that's what Jesus did for us. Do what you got to do. I'm going down and set the captives free. And that's what he did. That's why we celebrate. That's why we gather this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To celebrate his love. All these little bodies will lay down. But we ourselves will never die now as a born again Christian. And that is tremendous love that he shared for us. And we'll catch up with Mary here now. Mary is so excited. So now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen."
Hallelujah.
Just as he said he would.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. First day of the week, the Master came back to life, raised back up, defeated every sin, every sickness, every disease. He brought us back in relationship with God. I pray as we gather here this morning that your relationship with God is restored through Jesus Christ. But if you're here today and you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulder, you're carrying this pressing weight of sin in your life, the good news is Jesus already paid for it. The good news is you can surrender that by asking Jesus Christ into your life. To allowing Him to be your Lord and your Savior. I just praise God this morning for that opportunity. And the Master gave us this. He gave us this charge to us. We call it the Great Commission. But he tells us today that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. So therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Amen? He's coming back. He's coming back very, very soon. He's alive. He's not dead. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God.